We continue this morning looking at the prologue in John's Gospel. And I was getting a wee bit worried there that it's the same reading as last week. It is. You can decide whether it's the same sermon or not. What happens in John's Gospel in the prologue is it's a bit of a spoiler. Because what he does is he tells you who Jesus is. And he says, this is what I'm going to do for the rest of the book. I'm going to prove that he is the Messiah. And that believing in him, you can have eternal life. So you've sort of got that running all the way through John's Gospel. This Christmas, we've already seen that John the Baptist, remember, he came saying, I'm not the light. I'm just somebody who is witness to the light. And last Sunday, we saw how Christians, especially at Christmas, want to say more about Jesus than anybody else. And we've got to keep doing that. We say more about him than the Muslims say. We say more about him than the Jews say. We say even more about them than the Jehovah's Witnesses say, as we saw last week. We want to say high things about who Jesus is. As John in his gospel last week, we sort of looked at that lovely verse that says, he pitched his tent among us. And that's a lovely wee picture of what God did. John goes on this morning to say the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, that's a good question to debate this morning. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And we could say, you're the kind of kid, you know? I felt quite upbeat at the beginning of Christine's prayer. And then she gave us the catalogue of what people would say is of darkness. One thing after the other. And yet here we've got in John's Gospel saying the light shines in the darkness and the darkness will not overcome it. Is the darkness going to win? I think most of us would agree that we're living in dark times. Just watch the news, read the papers. It's just darkness after darkness after darkness. Is the darkness gaining ground? Might be. I don't know whether it's because we hear more stuff from all over the world. Is it getting worse? Could be. Will the light overcome the darkness? As John in his gospel is saying. Or is John here being quite optimistic? And he's saying, this is what I want you to hold on to, even if it is so bad. Let's clear up one or two easy bits first, just to get you started this Christmas. Fill in number one. When John's talking about the light is Jesus. That's the easy one. He talks about the light of the world, and he said the light is Jesus. Because he gets this from Jesus himself. Jesus, time and time again, uses the idea of light and life to describe himself. He says later on in John's Gospel, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. What does John and Jesus mean by darkness? That's fill in number two. The darkness is the world of evil and unbelief and death. And that's a world that is there today. The darkness is a way of living that deliberately shuts God out of whatever system we're living with. And I still think it's surprising, but we shouldn't really be surprised, but what some folk do today is they often choose to live in the darkness rather than the light. I must be getting old. The more I hear about Jesus, the more I hear about the light of the world, I find it crazy that folks say, could be, I'm not having it. I prefer to live in the darkness. Now, by calling himself light, it's no great big deal to us. I didn't see folk getting amazed when we heard that this morning. They would have done in Jesus' time. Because throughout the Old Testament and some places in the New Testament, the idea of light was solely given to God the Father. It's fill in number three. God is light. And I'll give you one or two examples of that. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God the Father was light. Psalm 36, how priceless is your unfailing love, O God. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. And from the New Testament in 1 John, this is a message we've heard from him and declare to you, God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And here we have Jesus deliberately taking this idea of light and sort of plonking it on himself. what was said in the Old Testament about God the Father is being said about Jesus. And Jesus said, that's okay to do that. And one reason that Jesus is going to triumph over darkness, light is going to triumph over darkness, is, as we saw last week, because Jesus is God. And that's the fill-in number four. Second part of the Trinity, Jesus is God. That's why we can say Jesus will triumph over the darkness. We're saying something totally different from all the other world religions. We're saying right at the beginning, this baby, hard though it is to believe, this baby is God. And this baby says he will triumph over the darkness, and I'm going to take him at his words. And that's what he's going to do. The light will triumph means that Jesus will triumph, and those who believe in him will also triumph. Because he says they've already moved from darkness into light. If you believe in Jesus, if you've trusted in Jesus, you might be in darkness and living in darkness, you're in the wrong place. Because Jesus says, once you believe in me, you're transported from darkness into light, and that's where you are living. See this in Ephesians. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children in the light. But we still might say, looking at the world today, there's a lot of darkness. Are you sure the light is going to triumph? The light is going to triumph because number five said the light is the creator of all things. And we saw a bit of this last week as well. Jesus is God, but Jesus is also the creator of all things. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And the Jesus who created all these things declares that those who believe in him will never walk in darkness. And that's why we will never walk in darkness. Because Jesus, who's the God, Jesus, who's the creator of all things, says, you've moved from darkness into light. Don't live in a darkness, because I will overcome the darkness. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, if you remember the background to this, and we looked at this ages ago, maybe about 6 months ago. It was a Feast of the Tabernacles. And they had this, we looked at those I am sayings when we were going through John, and this was one, I am the light of the world. And Jesus spoke these words at the Feast of the Tabernacle. Now what they did at the end of that, nobody partied like the Jews. Nobody. We have got to learn to party more. Is it going to be like tonight? Party? Big? Are you going to have a big light? I think what we should do is once the dark comes, once it's dark, we're going to light these massive big floodlights, not the wee sort of things that are down on the drive there, huge big things that are going to fill up the whole of Traquair. Because that's what they did at the Feast of the Tabernacles. When it started to get dark, they sort of lit these big lights, and it was the idea of the light is shining all the way through Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, they're saying, God is light. And Jesus gets up and says, I want to tell you something different. I am the light of the world, he says. He who believes in me will never walk in darkness. And he did it at that time when they're saying, look at the light, that's what it is. So, tonight, yeah, that's what we need. And he used to do that every night at the feast, and that's where Jesus said that. It was claiming in many ways to be the new light. And if you sort of look at this, the background to this was at the Feast of the Tabernacles. They always look back in their history to where God brought them out of captivity. Remember you had the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. That's what this fire was meant to represent. And they kept saying at these festivals, let's look back, celebrate what God has done in the past. Huge big lights. Because remember what he did back then. He's going to do the same for us. That God who led all our ancestors out of slavery with the and I don't know what the cloud was like. You know, we should know in Dumfries. Maybe we're under the cloud of God. That's what it is. You think it's just bad weather. Dumfries has been chosen out of all places to be covered in God's cloud because we don't see the sun. I don't know what it was like. They were covered by this cloud. And the one thing that we would find hard to believe, it protected them from the sun. We don't need that. And that's what they did. And they would move when this cloud moved. At night, they had the pillar of fire, and they knew if they had to move during the night, they could do that. But during the day, this cloud would move and would keep them sheltered. And Jesus says, I am the new light. I am the new light. So the light wouldn't just give protection, it would give guidance. And that's what God is going to give us through Jesus for the year ahead. If you're looking for guidance, if you're looking for some kind of protection, whatever your situation is, that's who we turn to. He's now saying, don't look back to what happened way back there. Great though it was when God took them out of slavery. You've got to look to me now, Jesus says. I am the light of the world. I will provide protection. I will provide all these things for you. You've just got to seek me out. And what Jesus is saying to each of us this morning is it's possible to live in a dark world. It's naive to say it's not dark. It is. But it's possible to live in a dark world, an unfair world, a world that looks as though it's at times godless. But we can do that and have life. And that's why the darkness has been overcome. Because Jesus says, I will overcome that darkness. Filling number six is a good one. Darkness will never be overcome because the light was not extinguished on the cross. We've got to marry the cross with Christmas. We've got to. Because if ever there was a time where all the powers of evil sort of got together in some kind of collective thing against God, it was on the cross. Pilate, he just didn't care. He didn't want to get involved. The religious leaders, I don't get this. They had their presbytery meeting. They had a meeting of their presbytery. And they said, what are we going to do? I don't know. They kept bringing deliverance and everything. We think this Jesus is good. We think he's okay. Oh, no, we can't have this. It's going to destroy our system. Until someone came up with a deliverance, one part deliverance. And they said, I think it's better that one person dies for the good of everyone else. And folks thought, hallelujah, what a good idea. That was the religious people. I can excuse the civil people. These guys got together and said, how are we going to get around this? Let's kill them. Good idea. All those saying, yeah? Yeah. Even our presbytery knows bad as that, John. No, we don't talk about these things, but we've not even got there yet. We've not decided to kill folk. We might like to have done it, but we've not passed a motion yet to do that. And then you've got the local people as well. They were persuaded by mob rule. You know, they had seen Jesus, they had seen him work, they had seen the miracles, they had seen all the stuff they did. And they're all gathered together there, and they drag out this Barabbas, and just because he had a bigger crowd, they're shouting, Jesus, Jesus, and the big crowd are going, Barabbas, oh, Jesus. Barabbas, yeah, we're for him. And they were just swayed by mob rule. So you have the civil leaders, you have the religious leaders, you have the whole crowd all coming together, and all the forces of evil. Because that was it. If we can extinguish this person on that cross, that's it, finished. The light shone in the darkness for a short time. A glorious time. But you can't take on the system. Anyone who takes on the system, they're going to die. And that's what happened. How can you win against such overwhelming odds? It was a bit stupid going to Jerusalem. Should have stayed in the country. And we knew what happened. And he never knew what was going to happen. That the God of all power raised this light of the world from death. And nobody had a scooby that was going to happen. You know, nobody knew. And they all mourned the death of this fantastic visionary preacher. And then God raised him from the dead. That's why God will overcome evil. That's our best thing. He will overcome evil because that's what he did on the cross. And the great thing is he says he's going to do the same for us. Something to get excited about? Steady. But it is. That's how we know. And that's my answer to when anyone says, oh, John, you don't think it's getting worse? Oh, it's terrible. Oh, man, church is declining. Oh, dear, folk are not coming. Oh, dear, it's getting worse. Internet, oh, dear, stay off it. Oh, it's terrible. News, oh. I think I've said before, I'm addicted to Sky News. I think I must like darkness. Because it's just one thing after the other. You think, man, how do we know that light is going to triumph? Because the same God who raised Jesus from the dead is going to triumph over darkness. And that's the good news at Christmas. And that's why darkness can never win. because God is light. And his plan, God's got a plan, is to flood all his creation with glory. That's what he's going to do. He's not just going to triumph over evil. He's going to blaze the place with light and flood the whole creation with his glory. Let there be light wasn't just a cry at creation. That's going to be one of the final cries. Let there be light, and God will flood this whole creation with his glory. Let there be light over darkness. Let there be light over illness. Let there be light over confusion. Let there be light over death itself. That's what he says. That's what's going to happen. And darkness can never win because God said so. I should really have said that at the beginning and we could have saved 20 minutes. Darkness is not going to win because God said so. And God's plan for the world hasn't changed. And the exciting and scary thing is it's a plan that involves you and me as well. Because fill-in number 7 says, you are the light of the world. And this is where he drags us into his plan. You are the light of the world. Put your trust in the light while you have light, it says in John 12, so that you may become children of light. God has promised today to work through those people who will trust him, but also those people who are willing to let God work through them. Quite easy for the next year. You've sort of got a choice. What we can do is we can say, yeah, God, we're on your side. We're on this team, but I don't want to get involved. You know, really. Stick him on the substitute bench. He'll do that. God will do that. But you'll not get a game. You'll not get a game. Anyone ever been a substitute in football? I have. It's terrible. It's terrible. When these 11 wasters are out there doing what you could do, you know, and you're sort of, oh man, what are they doing? And you're on the bench wanting to play. And somebody in their wisdom says, you're not as good as those 11. You know, God will do that. God will say, I know you believe in me, I know you trust in me, but if you want to sit on the bench, that's okay. But what he says is, don't get in the way of the players. There's going to be 11 players out there playing. Don't get in their way if you're on the bench. And that's a choice we've got. We are the light of the world. Just think on that for a moment. You, with all your feelings, with all your doubts, with all your hang-ups, with all your whatever you've got, Jesus says, you will be my light in Dumfries in 2018. Isn't that quite nice? So he says, you, and you've got to decide whether you're going to be on my team or whether you're going to sit in the subs bench. It's up to you. But I'm looking for a new team, he says, for 2018. I remember one of the first nights that I slept in the manse. Francis was away, swanning it up at her mum's. And I've got to behave because Margaret's here. Yeah. Come on, let's be honest. Who's had their mother-in-law for two whole weeks? Come on. Anybody? Oh, nobody. Look at that. Isn't it a joy? I've lost the plot now. What was I saying? Oh, that's right, I was sleeping. I remember one of the first times I fell asleep in the manse. And stupidly, they've got lovely shutters. It's also got single glazing. But what I did was I shut the shutters. Then I got up in the middle of the night. Couldn't see a thing. Honestly, could not, you know. And I knew the light switch was somewhere over on this. I wish I'd filmed it. It was too dark. But I wish I had. Because I was like this. You know, I was shouting, Francis. I knew she was away. And it took me ages. And I nearly panicked. You know, you have this. You know the light switch is there. It's got to be here somewhere. I got it. Wow. See, if you come and visit us at the manse, we leave the hall light on now. We do all night. I don't want anyone to go through that trauma. It's impossible to see if you are living in darkness. You just cannot see. You cannot see if you're living in darkness. But many folk are living in darkness today. And what God wants to do is God wants to reach them. Many folk are living in darkness spiritually. Many are living in the dark morally. And often it's not their fault because they just do not know what the right way is. And into all this, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the ones who are going to shine into their confused, into their morally questionable world. Because God's plan hasn't changed for 2018. He'll shine in the darkness, and he says the darkness will never put us out. And if you want to be a light for God in this year ahead, then I think you've got to step up for it. You've got to ask God this morning to open your eyes to what is happening around you. The first thing you've got to say, I want to play in his team. Or you can say, I don't want to play, because I'll be looking for folk next year to do a lot of stuff. If you don't want to, just say, John, remember that silly sermon you gave at the end of the year that said I didn't want to be in the team? I'm on the subs bench. It's okay. Because God's looking for folk in his team. And what we've got to say is, God, open my eyes to what is happening around. And God will show you. Those in your family, those in your street, those at your work, even in Traquair Church, we've got to say, Heavenly Father, show us those that are hurting. Those that are in some kind of emotional turmoil. Those who are at their wit's end. Those who have financial problems. Those who are frightened. Those who are just mixed up in terrible things. And God says, once you see with my eyes, then you can be my light for the year ahead. Because God says our light cannot be hidden. Remember that lovely verse from the Sermon on the Mount? We're going to be looking at that, aren't we? Yeah. Later on. Next year. Do not hide your light under a bushel. Who's got a bushel? Yeah. Whatever it is, don't hide your light under it. He says, you've got to shine. Our light cannot be hidden. And Jesus will shine in the darkness today and throughout 2018. And guess what? The darkness will never put it out. Isn't that exciting? Yes! Amen.